talking a lot about the lumdus of Lamates Melachos in the regular Gemara Shir. For the Sunday Shirim, I'd like to focus more on some of the Halach Lamaisa Shailas that come up, that the postman have to deal with relating to each one of the Lamates Melachos. Let's start our discussion today with Choresh and Zareah. These are two of the Melachos that we actually spoke about in great detail this week. So let's look at some of the Shailas that come up in these two Melachos. First of all, Choresh. So we mentioned the Gemara and Moikotan Andav Beis Amei Beis, Chos Machlokes, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, as to what the nature of the Malach of Choresh is. The way the Menchas Chinuch explained, both agree that Choresh is really Ripui Ara, both agree that Choresh involves loosening the soil. The Machlokes Amoraim is whether one violates the Issur of Choresh if they loosen the soil only as a preparation for Zeria, as a preparation for planting, well, even if one loosens the soil, not as a preparation for planting. Rabbah says that any ripui ara, even menakesh and mashke mayim lizroim, even hoeing, weeding and watering the plants, Rabbah holds that that's also chayim mishum choresh, because you're softening the soil. It's not the classical type of plowing that we're used to, right? But it's a softening of the soil, and Rabbah says any softening of the soil, even if it's not a preparation for the planting, there is no preparation for planting, everything is growing already. Rabbah says that's still called Choresh, you'll be chayv in a Torah for the Melach of Choresh. Rav Yosef says, no, you're only chayv Mishum Zoreah there, you're not chayv Mishum Choresh. Because he says, as the Menchas Chinuch explains, that the only time that you'll be chayv Mishum Choresh is if your Ripui Ara is a Hachana Lizriya, if it's a preparation for the Zriya. If it's not a preparation for Zeria, then you're not going to be Chayav Mishum Choresh. If not Mutter, you're Chayav Mishum Zorea, but you're not going to be Chayav Mishum Choresh. And by the same token, Rav Yosef would say that you're not going to be Chayav for Harisha Shnia, for a second Harisha, even in a Karka Kosha, like the Karka of Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to be Chayav if you plow after the Zeria, because Rav Yosef holds that any kind of softening of the Karka after the Zeria, it's not going to be Chayav Mishum Choresh. Now again, Harisha Shni is not going to be Mutter. Rav Yosef admits that it'll be Chayav Mishum Zoreah. It's just you're not going to be Chayav Mishum Choresh. It'll still be awesome in a Torah, but you're not going to be Chayav Mishum Choresh. Okay, that's the basic Machlokas Amaroi. What are you Chayav for? How to define Choresh? Is it simply softening of the ground? Any kind of softening of the ground, whether before Zriya, after Zriya, or is it Dafka softening that's a Tzorah Zriya, that's a Hachonel Zriya? How do we paskin over here? So we know the Rambam paskins like Rav Yosef that Mashke Mayim Lizroim is Chayev Mishum Zoreah, not Mishum Choresh. Hagos Maimani though, and the Smag, some of the other Rishonim, they paskin like Abaye. Abaye is the third sheet of there in the Gemara Moikot, and he says Yechayev Shtayim. He doesn't really understand why both Rav Yosef and Rabbah say you're only Chayev Mishum Choresh or the four Mishum Zoreah. He says, why shouldn't you be Chayev Shtayim? Abaye seems to understand that any Ripui Ara should be Chayav Mishum Choresh. You might be Chayav Mishum Zoreah also for Mashke Mayim Lizroim. But he seems to say that any softening of the soil really should be Chayav Mishum Choresh also. So it's not clear, do we paskin only like Rav Yosef that you're Chayav Mishum Zoreah, or do we paskin like Abaye that you're really Chayav Shtayim? Rabbah is not completely dismissed, right? The sheet of Rabbah that any type of Ripui Ara, even if it's not Hachonel Zriya, you'll be Chayav Mishum Choresh. Maybe you talk a paskin like that, but maybe we paskin that you're also Chayav Mishum Zoreah, you're Chayav Shtayim, because you're accomplishing two things. You're softening the ground, and you're also helping the plants grow. Lamaisa, what comes out is that even according to the Rambam, that you're only Chayav Mishum Choresh if it's a Hachon Lizriya, no one's going to say that if you're Mashke Mayim Lizroim, if you do some kind of softening of the karka, even if it's not Hachon Lizriya, that's Mutter. No one's going to say that, because even the Rambam would say that you're Chayav Mishum Zoreah. What's more, it might be an issa the Rabbanu Mishum Choresh too. We didn't talk about that in Shir, right? We're talking about the Chi of the Raisa. What's the Malacha? Is the Malacha Choresh? Is the Malacha Zoreah? So the Rambam paskins that Mashke Mayim Lizroim is Chayav Mishum Zoreah. That means that the Malacha is one of Zoreah. Okay? So you'll be Chayav Mishum Zoreah. Does that mean that there's no issa the Rabbanu of Choresh there too? Mistama, there will be an issa the Rabbanu of Choresh. So it's going to be Osir anyway. You know, in the Gemara Shir, we're trying to figure out what's the nature of the particular Malacha. But it's going to be Osir anyway, even according to the Rambam, the Mashke Mayim Lizroim is not Chayav Mishum Choresh, it could still be an Issad Rabbanon of Choresh. What's more, it's an Issad Arais of Zoreah. So it's not going to be Mutter, it's still going to be Osir. Okay, that's the basic It's a basic story. The basic definition of Choresh, is it just Ripui Ara, or is it Ripui Ara that's a Hachana Lizriya? And what kind of Isser would there be if you're softening the ground, but it's not a Hachana Lizriya? Okay. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Tesamet Aleph adds another point to this discussion. The Gemara says that there's no Isser Choresh in loose soil. We have a basic definition of what Choresh is all about, softening of the soil. So what's the exception to the rule? What's the case where there's no Choresh Bechlal? So the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Tes says, by Ofer Tichoach. In the case of Ofer Tichoach, loose soil, there's no Choresh. Now what's the context of that Gemara? Why is the Gemara suddenly talking about Choresh in the middle of Perakira, which is mostly about Bishul and Muktzah? It all starts with a Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Chesamet Beis says that you're not allowed to be matmin a beitza, you're not allowed to insulate an egg in hot sand. If sand were warmed by the sun, you're not allowed to be matmin v'lo yatminena b'chol. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. You're not supposed to insulate the egg in hot sand. The question is why? What's the problem? So the Gemara on Lamed Chesamet Aleph has two different opinions. One is gezer shemiyatmin beremetz, that we're afraid, similar to the Iker Gzeirav Hatmana, that you're not allowed to insulate on Shabbos. There are two parts to that Gzeirav. You're not allowed to insulate B'dover HaMosef Hevel, certainly something which adds to the heat. You can't insulate even Erev Shabbos. Then there's another part of the Gzeirav Hatmana, that you can't be Matmin B'dover HaMamid Hevel, even something that maintains the heat, like a towel or something like that. You can't be Matmin B'dover HaMamid Hevel on Shabbos. But before Shabbos, you can insulate a pot. Let's say you don't want to leave the fire on Shabbos. So you can cook up your soup, and then you can cover it with a towel, and leave it that way. And then you can take off the towel, you know, when you come home from shul, an hour and a half later or so, and you can have hot soup. That's mutter, because you're allowed to be matmin b'davar hamam and hevel before Shabbos. But b'davar hamosif hevel, one is not allowed to do hatmana even before Shabbos. Gzera shemayatmin beremetz. It's a gzera that maybe you'll do hatmana with hot ash, with ash that has coals there, and you'll be machata b'gecholim, and you'll stoke the coals, then you come to be mavir b'Shabbos. Havara is a melacha d'araisa of Shabbos, so we're afraid that you might do havara if we allow you to insulate with this hot sand. Okay, that's one opinion of the Gemara. Okay, it seems like the first opinion of the Gemara is just the regular gzera of hatmana b'davar hamosif hevel, that if the sand has been heated by the sun, it's most of Hevel, so then even from before Shabbos, one is not allowed to insulate something with that item. It's not completely clear, it's Machlokes Rishonim, but for our purposes, we'll leave it with that. But there's a second opinion to that Gemara, and that is, it's not Exer Shemayatmin Beremet, but rather Shemayaziz Ofer Mimkomo. Maybe you'll move the Ofer, you'll move dirt from the place, from the area. Ofer Tichoach, maybe you'll move the Ofer. You're not allowed to be Matmin Bechol, You're not allowed to insulate with the sand, because the concern is that you're going to be moving the sand. So what could be the problem of moving the sand? So that's a question. Taisus learns, Pashat, what's the problem of moving sand? What do you think? What's the problem of moving the sand?
Something.
Moving sand.
Something.
Not gumos. No, that's the lumdish pshat. Pashat. No. Simple. Muktzah. Exactly. Muktzah. Taisus says the problem of muktzah. Of course, what you might say is, what could be the problem of muktzah? It's what we call tiltul min hatzad. You're not really moving the muktzah directly. Right? You're just putting the beitza in there. You're putting the beitza down and letting it... So Tosis explains that this opinion of the Gemara holds that tiltul min hatzad by muktzah is asr, that even indirect movement of the muktzah might be a problem. So we'll have to talk about that when we get to muktzah in Yana. Maybe we'll discuss them. But that's Tosis' pshat in the Gemara. That Shemayot is offer Mimkomo is a gzeir of muktzah, and this opinion holds that even Tiltum Natsar is asa, so that's why there's a problem that even if you're not going to touch the sand with your hand, you'll touch it with the egg or with some other apparatus, it doesn't matter, Tiltum Natsar is going to be asa. But Rashi has a famous shita. Rashi has a shita that Tosis deals a lot with. Rashi says, you know what the problem of Shemayot is offer Mimkomo is? The problem is that maybe you won't find... You want to insulate this base. You want to insulate the egg. So maybe you won't find enough dirt. If you don't find enough dirt, maybe you'll move other dirt. Right? You'll gather up a little bit of dirt so that you'll have enough to insulate the egg. What's going to be the problem? If you gather up the dirt, you'll be choresh. You'll be chofer. That's the problem. The problem is that there's a gzera atucho for guma, that you might not find dirt that's been detached from the ground. You know, if you find dirt that's detached from the ground, there's no chofer. That's not chofer in the ground. If you have a pile of sand, that shouldn't be a problem if it's detached. But the problem is we're afraid you won't have the sand, you won't have the dirt, and you'll come to gather a little bit from the ground. You'll be chofer guma, and you'll violate the yisr choresh. So these are the two opinions of the Gemara. Either that we're afraid that you'll be matmin v'remetz, that's the reason why you can't be matmin b'chol. The chol, there's no problem with chol. You're not going to violate mavir because there are no coals in the sand. It's just been heated by the sun. So what's the problem? No, because if we allow you to insulate with the sand, we're afraid that you might insulate with the hot ash also. And the hot ash has coals there, so you might be mechata b'gecholim and you'll come to havor. But the second shot is, no, that we're afraid that you'll move the dirt. What's the problem moving dirt? So Taisa says mukta. Rashi says, not mukta, it's choresh. Not just the gzera of mukta. But rather, it's the gzera that you might come to the melacha d'araisa of choresh. So the Gemara says, my benai, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference between these two approaches, whether it's Shema Yosef's offer mimkomo or Shema Yapnin b'remetz? The Gemara says, ika benai, offer tichoach. Loose sand, loose dirt. Loose dirt is the nafkamina between these two approaches. If it's a problem of mukta, so then loose sand is not going to help you too much, right? If it's a let me say better. If it's shemiyatmin biremetz, if it's shemiyatmin biremetz, so loose sand is not going to help you too much. Okay, loose sand is not going to help you. But if the problem is shemiyaz from nimkomo, so loose sand, at least according to Rashi's chat, it's very understandable. According to Rashi's chat, if it's loose sand, you're not chofer guma. What do I mean? If the sand is loose, so then if you allow the egg to go into the sand, you throw the egg into the sand. So you're not creating a guma. If you took out the egg, the guma would be completely filled up. It's not a chofer guma is only if I make a hole and the hole is going to stay there. But if it's loose sand, if it's malleable, if it moves freely, it's very dry, fine, loose sand, so then there's no problem because that's not called chofer guma. Chofer guma means you're making a hole and the hole is going to stay there. If the hole is not going to stay there, there shouldn't be any problem. Okay? That's how Tosis explains according to Rashi. Right? We're focusing now on Rashi Shita. So Rashi says, Shema Yosef Zofer Mimkomo, the problem is that we're afraid that you might come to chofer guma. So what's the nafkamina? Offer tichoas, it says Taisus, if you have loose sand, so there's no problem of chofer guma, because that's not called a guma. A guma can only be created if you're using moist or clumpy sand. Use moist or clumpy sand, it's hard, so then when you dig in, it stays there. But if you're using very fine, dry, loose sand, so then there can't be any problem. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara Daf Lamed Tes. So this is the source that there can't be any Isser of Choresh with loose sand, with offer tichoach. What's an afkamina lemaisa? Why do I care? Most of us are not going to be using sand to insulate eggs. So the afkamina lemaisa that comes up that the poskim discuss is it mutter to allow kids to play in a sandbox on Shabbos? Sandbox. Can they play with the sand? Is it a problem of choresh or not? That's the question. So many poskim say that it's dependent on what kind of sand it is. If it's moist and clumpy sand, then it's really a problem. It would be a problem of choresh. Gzeira to choresh. It's not even gzeira, they are actually being choresh in the sandbox. But if the sand is dry and loose, so then it's ofer tichoach, and the Gemara says that there's no gzeira of choresh by ofer tichoach. So there can't be any problem playing in the sandbox. Now keep in mind, if it's clumpy, moist sand, so then the post can point out that even though the sand is actually not attached to the ground, there still is an issur choresh. That's a Mogen Avraham in Hilchos Yom Tov. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Tzadi Ches of Kotel Lamed Beis, he writes that he tries to bring Rayas that Choresh still applies even if the sand has been detached from the ground. A sandbox is normally, I guess there are different sandboxes. You might have sand that's literally connected to the ground and you just make some kind of a contraption to keep the sand within that area. You put some kind of wood around. But many sandboxes are literally that. They're a box. It's a separate box that's detached from the ground. But the Magen Avraham says that that's not a reason to say that there's no Issur Choresh. There should be an Issur Choresh even if it's detached from the ground. But if it's dry or loose, so then it should be mutter. If it's dry or loose, it should be mutter to play in the sandbox because there's no problem of Choresh. I'm Muktzah. It's not Muktzah either because it's Muchan. The sand is Muchan. It's prepared from before Shabbos to be used for play. As opposed to sand on the seashore, by the way. Sand on the seashore is not Muchan. can't be making all of the sand on the seashore. If you set aside a certain segment of the seashore and you designate, you have to do something. You have to pick it up. You have to designate that this sand is going to be used on Shabbos. If you don't designate it, that would be mukta. So having the kids play on the seashore, aside from choresh, might be a problem of moving mukta, moving the sand. But if you have a sandbox in your backyard, even if it's detached from the ground, it still might be a problem of choresh, but if it's not moist and clumpy, it hasn't rained, it's very loose and dry, so then there shouldn't be a problem of choresh. And frankly, the post can point out there's no problem of bona either. You build a sandcastle, the kids can build a sandcastle, there's no problem if the sand is loose and dry because it's not miskayim. The sandcastle, the sandcastle can be created, but you just touch it and it disintegrates. So yeah, if they put sand in and they add the water, I've been there, done that, right? If the kids, it's been a while, but if they add water, so then it becomes clumpies, and then the sandcastle might actually survive a little bit of time. So that's not a problem. That might be a problem of choresh, it might be a problem of bona. But if the sand is loose and it's not clumpy, so then it wouldn't be a problem of choresh, nor bona, it would be perfectly mutter, and if it's in your backyard, it's not muktzah either. Noah.
What about when you're saying, like you said in Shir earlier, that it needs to be about Hachana Lizriya
Even according to the Rambam, it could be that there's an Issa Rabbanan to be choresh, even if it's not Hachana Lizriya. So that's what I'm going on. It's going to be usher anyway. Even according to the Rambam, it's going to be usher. It's not going to be Mishum Zoraya, but it'll still be an Issa Rabbanan of choresh.
It'll be the Rabbanan.
Right. But it'll still be usher, yes.
Do you assume that the sandbox in the playgrounds are prepared for Shabbos?
I think the sand in the sandbox is prepared for playing. It doesn't have to be prepared for you. It's understood that people are going to play with it. It is mukhan. It's not like rocks in the forest, rocks or twigs or something in the forest that no one is expecting to use. So I think the sandbox in the playground is also mutter to be used on Shabbos, as long as the sand is loose. You got to be careful. Sometimes when it gets depleted or if it rains, it can be moist and clumpy. So you just have to make sure that it's still loose.
Do you have to set it aside, or just know that the playgrounds are set aside for people?
I think it's set aside for human use. Yeah, so that's enough. That is called being set aside for human use. Let's say someone else sets aside a rock on Shabbos, or sets aside a branch to be used. He wants a branch to, move his awning or something. If he's the only one who can move that, who can use that branch, no, you can use it also. Once it's muchan for a tzorech adam, so then any adam can use it. So I think the sandbox in the playground is the same, that it's muchan for human use, so therefore anyone can use it, as long as you're not going to violate any other principles of muktzah, choresh, etc. Yes?
It's very much a larger question, but in terms of, kids playing the sandbox.
Right.
So at what point, tell a 2-year-old that you can't play a sandbox on Shabbos,
Well, maybe you shouldn't bring the kids to the sandbox.
Okay, you're in a bungalow colony. I don't know. One of the things there is like a sandbox. Like
you're in a bungalow colony, and they should keep the sandbox locked on Shabbos. If it's a problem, there should be a poisik in the bungalow colony. You should keep the sandbox locked. There's no excuse just because. If you put a frame around the sandbox. Okay. You should try your best. That's the old shaila. At what age do you have to be moche if your kids are playing with it? So if a kid is a bar chinuch that he can understand, there are some things that are forbidden on Shabbos and some things permitted. Try to train him slowly but surely to tell him that it could be a problem. It doesn't take such an old kid. Even at the age of 3 or 4, a kid can understand that there are certain things that they can't do on Shabbos. But it's best to try to avoid the whole thing. You can go to the playground, but if there are other things to do in the playground. There are swings, and there are other things to do. So if you try to focus on that, the truth is most sandboxes in public playgrounds, I probably would not let my kids play with, for very simple reasons that I'm not going to discuss now. Okay, so if it's a bungalow colony where that issue probably does not occur, so then there's room for a shiloh. But if animals are going to be walking by, it's not sanitary to let your kids play in such a sandbox. But you might have a sandbox in your backyard. Some people have. They have a whole swing set and sandbox and whatnot. So that's a sandbox that presumably is more protected and it is more sanitary. But I think even there, there's a certain age where I think you can tell the kid that if it just rained and it's moist and clumpy, we've got to avoid the sandbox. Yes, Gary.
Just to clarify the two different types of sand, when you say the usher sand, it's like the sand near the water that
Well, there are two issues. There's a mukta issue. The sand by the water is mukta. So moist and clumpy sand. Moist and clumpy sand means when you Sorry?
It's like the sand by the ocean.
Sand by the ocean often can be moist and clumpy if the water, if the tides have come up. But further up, it's, you know, very, very loose and dry, and, you know, you walk in it, and it barely even makes any kind of depression. Because it just, you know, it goes back to its place. So that's the kind of loose sand that there's no problem with chorish for. Okay, let's move on to another topic. Another issue that the post can discuss related to the melacha of chorish is sweeping a home, cleaning up. Not all kinds of cleaning up, but sweeping. So the Gemara in Shabbos and Avtarihei Amidale quotes Machlokas Tanoim, whether mechabed, sweeping, is a melacha daraisa. Are you chayav chatas for it, or is it just an isid rabbon and it's asur mishum shvus? What's the issue? So there's a lot of back and forth in the Gemara there, but the issue seems to be whether they assume that it's a psikresha, that you'll be mashve gumos, that you'll level the ground as a result of the sweeping, you'll be moving the dirt around, and you'll be mashve gumos, and that might be a problem of what? In a sadeh, in a field, that might be a problem of choresh. In a home, in a bayis, there's no problem of choresh, but it'll still be a problem of bona. Right? We had a number of gemaras in Dafayim, Gimel Amud Beis, that say that certain actions might be choresh in a sadeh, and then they might be bona in the bayis. So this as well. They explain that mechabed as habayis, mechabed will still be asa, but not mishum choresh, but rather mishum bona. Besadeh, it might be asa mishum choresh, but bayis, it might be asa mishum bona. That's according to one opinion, that it's a psikresha, that it's going to be mash for gumos. But not everyone agrees. There is another opinion in Tanan that's only in the Sidra Bonan, because it's not a psikresha. If it were a psikresha, Taka would be chayav chatas, it would be a melacha daraisa. Now, the Gemara explains, the Rishonim explain, that this Gemara is talking about at the time of the Gemara, when the dirt, when the floors of the home were made out of dirt. Okay, when the floors were made out of dirt, so then sweeping, even in the home, could be an Isra Bona. Mashvegumos, you might level the ground. The ground is made out of dirt, so then we can talk about being Mashvegumos. That's at the time of the Gemara. The whole Machlogos Tanoim, whether we assume Mechabed is a psikresha, right, it's definite. We know for sure that you're going to be mash for gumos or not. That's at the time of the Gemara, that the ritzpa, that the floor of the home was made out of dirt. In fact, even at the time of the Gemara, there is a machlokas tanaim, and the Rishonim have a debate ledina whether we're concerned. Look at Tosfos there. Tosfos on Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph, Tzadi Hei Amid Aleph, Thiru Maschel V'ha'idna. The Gemara says V'ha'idna that we paskin like Reb Shimon, that Dovashin Miskavin is mutter, there's no problem. Taisus explains that obviously that's assuming it's not a psikresha. So Reb Shimon would say it's mutter lagamri. Reb Yehuda might say it's an isid rabbon, and Reb Shimon would say it's mutter. So Taisus over there has a discussion. He quotes Rishonim who talk about whether it's taka psikresha or not. And there's a machlokas ladina had a paskin regarding that shaila, meaning not bizman hazeh, in a regular situation. Let's say someone is sweeping in the field, or someone is sweeping at the time of the Gemara in a home where the floor is made out of dirt. What's the din? Is that asr or is that mutter? The Mechaber has two deis about this. Right? Whether one is allowed to sweep an earth floor, an earthen floor. Some say it's mutter, and some say it's asr. But bizman hazeh, that the floors of the home are made out of tiles, or wood, or some other substance that is not dirt, so there's no chashash that you'll be mash for gumos through the sweeping. So at first glance, it should be mutter. What's the whole shaila? Why am I bringing this up? The Gemara has a machlokas tanaim, because at the time of the Gemara, the floors in the homes were made out of earth. But now they're not made out of earth. They're made out of tile or wood or something. You know, maybe they're going to have a new style. Earth and floors. I don't think it's going to catch on quickly. Right? They have so many different styles, but that's not going to catch on again. So we have floors that are made out of levanim, avonim, as they say, stone and tile and ceramic and wood and vinyl and, you know, all different kinds of things, right? So at first glance, the whole chashash, dilma mash v'gumos, doesn't apply. Not so fast. So the Rishonim have a debate whether Chazal were goes there, a karka merutzaf or to a karka she'ena merutzaf. Well, Chazal goes there, a karka that has a floor to it, that has a floor made out of something besides earth, besides dirt. A floor like tiles of wood, did they make a gzeira that you shouldn't even sweep a floor where there's no chashash that you'll be mashva gumos? No chashash bichlal, it's not a psikresha, there's no expectation at all that you'll be mashva gumos, because there are no gumos to be mashva. There's no earth floor to level. The Rishonim have a debate where the Chazal goes there, a karka merutzaf, a karka she'eno merutzif. The Rambam is a big maker on this. The Rambam says that kibur habayis bezman hazeh is completely mutter if the floor is not an earthen floor, because Chazal didn't make such a gezeirah, and that's how the Mechaber paskins. The Mechaber in Simen Shin Lamed Zayin Siv Beis, he says that there's no gezeirah bezman hazeh. We don't have such a floor, so if you live in a home without such a floor, the Rambam would say there's absolutely no problem, the Mechaber would agree. But the Ramah quotes that there are Yesh Machmirim, some claim that you shouldn't sweep even a floor that has tile on it, like this floor. Right? There's no problem with Mashve Gumos. But what goes there, that if we allow you to sweep this floor, you might sweep an earthen floor as well. And that might be a problem of Mashve Gumos. So the Ramah quotes that there are some Muam Machmir not to sweep Bechlal on Shabbos because we're afraid. Not to sweep even a Karka Merutzov because we're afraid of Zera, Otu Akarka that's not Merutzov, that's made out of earth. There might be a problem with Mashve Gumos over there. If you're Machmir like that Shita, that it's a Psegresha by a Karka that's made out of Ofar, so then it'll turn out that it's a good Zera. It's a Zera, Otu Achiv Daraisa. So that's why some Muam Machmir say that you shouldn't sweep it all on Shabbos. But the Bir Halacha says, there's just one caveat lakula. Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha says that if all of the homes in the city, or rove of the homes in the city, have stone or tile or wooden floors, they don't have earthen floors, then there's no reason for gzeira. Even these machmirim wouldn't be gozer. Okay, so that's the give and take. The Rambam is meko outright. He says if your floor is a tile floor, if it's a wooden floor, if it's not earthenware, there's no chashash that you'll be mashva gumos, it's mutter. Rama says that there are some Muamachmir. Some Muamachmir say that there's a gzeira, even in a floor that you can't be mashver gumos, a gzeira up to a floor that's earthen, that you can be mashver gumos. But the Mishnah Berurah says that there are Rishonim who claim that if all the homes in the city are not made out of earth, so then there's no chashash at all. The whole gzeira only makes sense if there are other places in the city that you might have a chashash that you might be mashver gumos. But if there's nowhere in the city that you'll be mashver gumos, so then even the machmirim are not going to be gozer. This cooler is based on a Rashi. The Mishnah Berurah got it from a Rashi and Tosfos in the Sechel Shabbos. Rashi there on that side, Heyam and Aleph, is going on a story of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ameimar shor zilcha b'mechoza. Ameimar permitted people to do zilcha. What is zilcha? It means, it's the Aramaic term for the Hebrew called rebuts. That's what the Shulchan Aruch, that's the term that Shulchan Aruch uses. Rebuts is sprinkling water on some kind of dust or dirt on the floor. Sometimes if you have a dusty floor, the dust comes up when you just walk on the floor, the dust comes up. So if you sprinkle a little bit of water, it keeps the dust down. You know, in most of our homes you don't have this, but if you go into a garage, which is the floor is sort of cement, but it's cement with a lot of dirt on it. So if you're not careful, the dirt can collect, and then just by stepping on the floor, moving things around, you can sweeping the floor, right? Even if you're not afraid of gumos, but you're gonna bring up a lot of dust. So if you put a little water on it, that keeps the dust down. So that's mutter. Amemer was matted to do zilchav mechoza. He said like this, time amai, amar rabbanan, do ma'asilash v'gumos. What's the problem of kibud, mechabe? That's because we're afraid you might be mashva gumos. Hocha leka gumos. But here, there are no gumos. Amemer said, there were no gumos. Mechoza didn't have gumos, so there's no problem. So Rashi there writes, l'rabbe tzabayis, ritzba savonim hoisa b'chol ha'ir. Rashi says, since there was a ritzba avonim, there was a ritzba not made out of earth, but out of some other substance in the entire city, Ameimar was not afraid. Now it comes out, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, Zilcha's mutter anyway, even without this reason. The Gemara is going to say that there's no chashash of mashva gumos in Zilcha, right? There's no chashash to be mashva gumos because you're not flattening anything, you're just keeping the dust down. So really it should be mutter. It should be mutter and ganzer. You don't really need the svar of Rashi. Rashi is saying Amemer was matir because there was no earthen floor in the whole city. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, that's not necessary. Technically speaking, that reason is not necessary because you can say that if we pass in Dovashen Miskavim mutter and we're not really afraid of mashva gumos when it comes to sprinkling the water, we're only afraid of mashva gumos when you sweep. So then there shouldn't be a problem with chalav. But this Lashon of Rashi made it big, because you see that Rashi was willing to say that if there's a Ritzba Savonim in the entire city, then the whole problem of Mashva Gumos doesn't apply. So that should, that comment should apply not only to rebuts but to mechabed also. Rebuts is going to be mutter anyway because there's no chashash of ashwiri gumos in sprinkling water to keep the dust down. But in sweeping, there is a problem of mashvir gumos. But this comment of Rashi made it very big, because from this Rashi you see that if the floor is not made out of earth, if there's no floor made out of earth in the entire city, so then even those who are gozer wouldn't be gozer. There's no reason to for gzera, because we're not afraid then it's going to come to being mashvir gumos. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Question. Yeah.
There's one like tented in area that has a giant tent that would be covering a large area that's not.
The tent has a floor that's made out of earth, then you can't sweep the floor. Yes, if you have a kiddush in an area that's made out of earth, the floor is made out of earth, you shouldn't sweep the floor b'chlal. That's the original halacha.
Yeah,
so there are two days about that. The Mechaber quotes two days. Some are some asas. It's probably best to avoid that.
But if that's in the city, does that mean that would make a problem for all the other places in the entire city, since that's the one?
No, I think it's not a din in Kol Ha'ir, but even if Rov Habatim,
okay.
Rubo Kakulos, if Rov Habatim do not have this, you know, not everyone in the city is making a kiddush that day,
right,
at Shabbos, so I think it's okay. Okay, if Rov Ha'ir has earthen floors, then there's a problem. But if Rov Ha'ir does not have earthen floors, then that Rashi will apply. Yes?
You said in the beginning there might be a history of Misham Bona?
In a home, yes, in a house.
So that's still implied by it. If it's not.
What do you mean?
For Gumos? Is that still in
existence? Only if there's a problem that you might be Mashva Gumos. Mashva Gumos is being Bona. If you're not Mashva Gumos, there's no problem. So if you have a tiled floor, what could be the problem? The only problem is that there's a gzera to a floor that's not made out of tile. So if Rov of the homes in the city are made out of tile, then there's no room for gzera. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says based on the Rashi. Okay. This is all in terms of sweeping. Okay, we've talked about sweeping, and B'derech Agav, we also mentioned rebuts as well, sprinkling water to keep the dust down. How about washing the floor? Washing a tiled floor. Can it happen? A person would want to wash the floor on Shabbos. So Hadacha, washing the floor, is more chamer. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Lamed Zayin. So the previous Shulchan Aruch was Shin Lamed Zayin Siv Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch Lamed Siv Gimel says, but to wash a floor, even if the karka is merutzav b'avonim b'levenim, even if it has a tile structure, right? It's made out of tile or it's made out of wood. It's also to wash the floor. Even the Rambam would say it's also to wash the floor, Shabbos. The Rambam is the big maker. The Rambam says that kibud is mutter in a floor that's not made out of earth, because we don't make such a gzera of a tile floor or to a floor that's not tiled. But the Rambam is machmir when it comes to hadacha, that's awesome. It's awesome. We do make such a gzera. The Mishnah Berurah says there that the reason why we make the gzera by hadacha is because it's not as necessary. Sweeping the floor is much more necessary on Shabbos. Washing the floor, you don't wash the floor every day. You don't have to wash the floor every day. So it's not as necessary on Shabbos. So Chazal felt that they would make a gzera. What's more, maybe we should make a gzera not to wash the floor, even if most of the floors in the homes in the city are made out of tile and not made out of wood. Because that idea was based on the Rashi. Tosfos says that too. And Rashi and Tosfos say that if most of the homes in the city are made out of tile or woods, then this whole gzera, this whole issue of Shema Yishva Gumos doesn't apply to Chalal. But the Rambam didn't think like that. The Rambam felt that where we are gozer, we're gozer completely. So if you're going to be machmir for this Rambam, Mechaber is a Rambam man here, so he was megil for the Rambam. The Rambam was machmir, but the Mechaber was megil for the Rambam in Siv Beis that to be mechabed is mutter on a tile floor. We're not making a gzera at all or to an earthen floor. So if you take the Rambam to its conclusion, so then when it comes to washing the floor, you should be machmer completely. You should be machmer completely that we make that gzera. And even if there are most of the homes in the city made out of tiled floors, that shouldn't be a leniency. We should still be machmer. So that's according to the Rambam. The Rambam actually is not masig on the mechaber in Siv Gimel. It sounds like the Rama would also say that you should be machmer, that when it comes to washing the floor, you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. The Sefer Orcha Shabbos is a very beautiful, beautiful Sefer that came out a few years ago. So he has a Ha'orah, in Perek Yudches, Ha'orah Ayin Vav. He says, B'shas Archa Godol, in a very difficult situation, extenuating situation, let's say a person is eating at the table and some juice spills. It gets all over the floor. So if you don't wash the floor, it's going to be sticky. You know, you're going to be walking on the floor and you know that feeling and that sound, right? It's going to be uncomfortable for you, your guests. It's very uncomfortable. So he says, in such a case, if you have something sticky that got on the floor, maybe we can be makel. Maybe we can be makel to wash the floor. Why? Because first of all, according to the Rambam, the way the Mishnah Berurah explained, the Rambam holds hadacha is more chomer than kibur. Right? Washing the floor is more chomer than sweeping the floor. Why? Because it's not as necessary. But in this situation, maybe even the Rambam would say that it's mutter because it is necessary. Right? It's a tzar gadol. It's creating discomfort on Shabbos because there's a sticky floor. So maybe even the Rambam would say that's mutter. What's more, we found before that Rashi and Tosfos hold that even those who are gozer, a karka merutzav, or a karka she'eino merutzav, right? Even those who are gozer, a tiled floor, up to a floor that's not tiled, but if rove of the homes in the city are tiled floors, we don't make such a gzeir. I know the Rambam is machra when it comes to washing the floor, he's machra completely, and we don't see any leniency mentioned by the poskim saying that if rove of the homes in the city are made out of tiled floors, then we can be mako. It's true, but such a shita exists, right? Rashi and Tosfos did say that when it came to mechabed. Shasad Chak, the Archa Shabbos suggests, maybe we could be Mekel for such a Shita. Right? So putting two and two together, it could be even the Rambam would be Mekel b'Shasad Chak, because he might say that washing the floor in such a situation is necessary. And if it's necessary, then Chazal didn't make the Gzeirah. He only made the Gzeirah when it comes to washing, because it's not so as necessary as Kibbutz. But if it's necessary, maybe they wouldn't make the Gzeirah. What's more, maybe you could be Mitzari for Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that if most of the homes in the city are made out of tiled floors and not earthen floors, so then the whole gzera doesn't apply to bichlal. If the whole gzera doesn't apply, it wouldn't apply to mechabed or to hadocha. It shouldn't apply at all, even to washing of the floor. So in extenuating circumstances, if you have sticky substances on the floor, perhaps you can be makel. But you should keep in mind one thing. How do you wash the floor, exactly? You're not going to wash it with a mop. You can't do that. That's going to be schita. So and you can't do it with a rag either, because a rag also, if you're going to wet the rag and then squeeze it out on the floor, that's like a mop. It might not be as expensive, you don't have to buy that in the store, but it's still like a mop, you're still going to violate shchita. So the way to do it is to wet the floor, take like a cup of water or something, and pour a little bit of water on the floor. You can spread it a little bit with your hand gently on the floor, and then mop it up, meaning clean it up with a shmata. So there, you're going to, by spreading the water a little bit, it's going to neutralize whatever stickiness you have on the floor. And then you can clean that up, and that's not going to be a problem of schita. Obviously, we're talking about that you're putting the amount of water on the floor, that's not going to, it's not going to saturate the towel that you're using, the shmata that you're using to clean it up. So there's no concern of schita. Just like a person can wash their hands and dry their hands on a towel and we're not afraid of schita, unless it's saturated, the same would hold true over here. So that's the best way to do it. But you should know, it's not so posh that it's mutter to do. Not so posh that it's mutter to do. If it's not troubling you, if the dirt is in a corner of the floor, and it's not bothering anyone, but you see that the floor is dirty, so maybe on Shabbos it's best not to wash that with any water. But if it's some sticky substance and it's upsetting you, it's bothering you, it's going to impede your Simchas Hayom, Onik Shabbos, so then maybe there might be room to be makel, to wash that area, but to do it carefully in a way that it's not going to lead to sleep. Yes?
If you're cleaning it up with a napkin, what's a problem with
a
napkin that's fully saturated?
A napkin could saturate much more easily than a rig.
As it should be, it's fully saturated?
You got to be careful. If it really gets fully saturated, let's say it's a large area and you put a lot of water. So once it gets fully saturated, so then you'll be, when you press down, you'll be squeezing out some of that water.
So
and that
general,
might be a problem of schita.
Anytime you put anything with a napkin.
Yeah. This idea of cleaning up, you can clean up. Let's say you have a table with a plastic tablecloth, if you will,
yeah.
Right? Let's say a hard plastic tablecloth. If you have a flimsy plastic tablecloth, I wouldn't suggest putting water there. Maybe you can clean the flimsy plastic too, but the hard plastic tablecloths that sometimes people have, they have a nice tablecloth, but then they don't want to eat directly on the tablecloth because they're afraid that, people are going to spill, there are kids in the family, whatever, so they'll put like a hard plastic on top. And things do spill, and it gets sticky. So is there any hazard to clean that? Of course. You just put the water on again. Put the water on first, rub it a little bit around to spread it, to neutralize the stickiness, and then clean up. So if you're going to use that, if you're going to use a napkin to clean up, you have to be careful that the napkin doesn't get saturated. Because if it gets saturated, then you'll violate the issue of schita, because you'll be squeezing out the liquid inside the napkin. And don't tell me that you don't care. It's holdech li'ibud. It's not. No, you do care, because when the water comes out, it helps the whole cleaning process. It helps the cleaning. So that's probably nichale. It's a problem. So it's best to use something that's not going to get saturated, either a napkin. If you have cut toweling, you can use toweling, or use a rag. Or if you don't have so much water, you can even use a napkin. Yes?
The gezeira is that people are going to come to do hadacha on a dirt floor.
Right, and they'll be mashvah
gumas. How do you do that on a dirt floor anyway?
How do you do hadacha on a dirt floor?
Are you washing a dirt floor?
Yeah.
Muddy. How do people do hadacha on a dirt floor?
No, that means if you have dirt on the floor, meaning not the dirt that the floor is made out of, but if the floor got dirty, I guess, you know, dirt floors can get messy, if you will. So they'll wash. That's what they did in the time of the Gemara, apparently.
And if it's on the table, it has like, if it, let's say you the case you just gave with the tablecloth.
No, the table, there's no mashvagumos there at all. I'm just saying, we're not going to the table or to the floor.
Right,
No, I'm just talking about the schita angle when it came to the table. No, correct. Excellent. No, but in terms of the dirt floor, you're right. I mean, I didn't live at the time of the Gemara, so I don't know why they would wash the floors, but I guess the... No, the point is, we can't imagine that you'd have a dirt floor at all. But there must be dirt floors that some of the dirt comes up as you walk around, right? But most of it stays in place, and you might want to sort of wash it around to make all the dirt even and it's nice and clean. It's not the typical floor that you have in Teaneck, so it's a little hard to relate to, I know. But okay, let's move along. Okay, the last issue I want to talk about with you, in terms of the Malach of Koresh, is walking on dirt. Walking on dirt. So the Mishnah in Beitza says, Kol ha-kelim eina negrorin chutz min ha-agola mimnei shi koveshes. This is a Mishnah in Beitza Rav Chav Gimel on the base. The Behuda Omer, Kol ha-kelim eina negrorin chutz min ha-agola mimnei shi koveshes. You're not allowed to drag any kelim on dirt, except for a wagon, because it's koveshes. It captures the floor. I mean, what does that mean, koveshes? So the Rishonim explained, it means it doesn't loosen the soil, it compresses the soil. The wagon, the wheels of the wagon don't loosen the soil, so there's no Isser of Chorish. That's the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us. There's no Charisha because there's no Ripui Ara. It's not loosening the soil. It's just compressing the soil. So the Poskim say, based on this Mishnah, it should be mutter to push a stroller on dirt. Because a stroller, the wheels of the stroller don't create a charitz in the karka. There's no isur of charisha to push a stroller or to push a wagon on the soil. It just compresses the soil. The Orcha Shabbos quotes this in Perek Yud Ches there, Ha'oras Samaches, in the name of the Chazanish. That it's mutter to wheel a stroller. Sometimes, you come out of shul and you have a shortcut home. The shortcut is through the forest or through some kind of an area where you're going to walk over dirt. So some people ask, I can't push the stroller there. So pushing the stroller, the Chazanish says, it doesn't loosen the soil, it simply goes over the soil, it compresses the soil, and that's okay. But the poskim say you do have to be careful. If you're going straight on the soil, on the ground, that's okay. Once you start to move direction, as the wheels move direction, if you don't do it, I guess, in like a wide turn, like an 18-wheeler, right? If you don't do it in a wide turn, you just move direction, so the moving of the direction can create a chritz in the karka. So you got to be careful. This is only a heter if you're going straight. But when you start to curve, that can get a lot more complicated. Okay, another issue in terms of walking or putting things on top of soil. How about putting a chair on soil? Let's say a person is sitting in a sukkah. His sukkah is on the grass. And he has chairs that he's using. So there are different kinds of chairs. Some of them have feet to them, and others, they have sort of like longer pieces of metal. So the longer pieces of metal probably just compress the karka. But if they have feet to them, they can poke into the ground. If you're going to be sitting on top of the ground, is that going to be mutter? Is that mutter? Is that asa? Let's say women are walking with high-heeled shoes. The post can talk about it. Can women walk with high-heeled shoes on the ground? You want to take a shortcut home, but your wife is coming with you. So does she have to take the long cut, or can she come with you? So, the poskim say, at first glance, it should be awesome, right? What's the issa? Because it's a psik resha that the heels are gonna dig into the ground, and it'll soften the ground. So I saw Rabbi Ribiat in a Sefer Lamates Malachas, a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. Yeah, he doesn't need my Haskama. It's quite an amazing work, a four-volume work in all of Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Ribiat wants to suggest that perhaps we could be Megel based on a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Simin Shin Yud Dalid, in Sif Yud, he quotes the Magen Avraham. It's a long discussion the Mishnah Berurah has. There's a discussion in the Poskim whether Psik Reisha by a Derabbanan is Usr or not. We talked a lot about Psik Reisha. But we're discussing Psik Reisha by a Malacha Darais. Reb Shimon normally says the Dovah Shem Meskavin is Mutter, but by Psik Reisha he says that you're Chayav Chatas. By a Malacha Darais, you'll be Chayav Menator. What's the din if you're doing an Issa Derabbanan? The only possibility of Malacha over here is going to be an Issa Derabbanan. And it's not even b'kavana. You don't have kavana for it. It's a psikresha that if you do what you want to do, maybe an issa d'rabbanan will occur. It's like a psikresha that it's going to happen. Right? So what's the din? So there are those who claim that the whole chumra of a psikresha only applies by a malacha d'araisa, not by an issa d'rabbanan. Chumash Hadeshin says like that. There are poskim that hold like that. The Magen Avraham says nothing to it. So for our purposes, we'll assume that we have to be machmir. Even by an issa d'rabbanan, we have to be machmir if there's a psikresha. Okay, that's issue number one. The Magen Avraham is machmir. Even by an Issad Rabbanan, if it's a Psik Reisha, it's also to do. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham himself is Mekel. We're not going to get into the case that the Magen Avraham is discussing, but the principle. Magen Avraham says that even though Psik Reisha by an Issad Rabbanan is Taka Osir Mid Rabbanan, that if you're Mekalkel, if you're doing a Kilkel, you're destroying, it's a destructive act. Now we know Kol Mekalkel in Upturin, it's Pater Aval Osir Mid Rabbanan. That's an Issad Rabbanan too. But if you're doing an Issad Rabbanan, B'derech kilkel, and it's kila achar yad, it's done b'shinui, it's an abnormal way to do it, the Magen Avraham says that's going to be mutter. Right? A psik reisha by an issad rabbanan normally should be asr. But he says, if you do it b'derech kilkel, and it's kila achar yad, then it's going to be mutter. So some of the poskim want to suggest, based on this Magen Avraham, maybe you could be mekel over here too. The women walking with the high-heeled shoes, that's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei. The fact that the ground is going to be softened, that's irrelevant to this person. You don't care about it. It's not your karka anyway. You're walking in someone else's property. It's not your backyard, the stoma, right? So you don't really care about it. You don't really care about that those gumos. So we'll see later that there are some rishonim who say that psik reisha d'lo nichalei. The rules of psik reisha d'lo nichalei apply not only if it's lo nichalei, if you don't want it to happen, but even if it's lo ichbaslei, you don't care about it. So if it's already a psik reisha d'lo nichalei, what's its status? Is that a malacha d'araisa? We said that Tosfos argues with the Aruch, right? Remember? Tosfos says that a psik reisha d'lo nichalei is similar to what? Malacha shem tzricha l'gufa. It's only an issa d'rabbana. So the poskim say, if the whole case of walking with the high-heeled shoes is only an issa d'rabbana to begin with, and you're doing it b'derech kilkel. You're doing it b'derech kilkel that you're destroying the ground to some extent. And it's kila achaya. This is not the normal way to do harisha. Most people do not plow the land. Right? Most people don't plow karka with their wives' high-heeled shoes. Last I checked. So according to the Magen Avraham, it's only an issa d'rabbanan to begin with because it's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei and it's b'derech kilkel and it's kila achaya. So maybe there's room to be mekel. And the same would hold true, they claim, for the sukkahs. If you're sitting on a grassy area of your backyard and the chairs are digging into the ground, they say that's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei, even though it's your sadeh, it's your backyard, right? But if it's your backyard with grass on it, so you don't really want to plant grass over there, right? Certainly, now that you're sitting there at sukkah's time, you're not interested in planting grass. You're not going to be able to plant anything in sukkah. It's not going to grow. There's no sun that comes. Hopefully there is not enough sun in the sukkah, right? So it's not going to grow anything. So that's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei. So the harisha would only be an issa d'rabbanan to begin with. And it's b'derech kilkel, and it's kila achar yad. No one would be chorish in that way. So the poskim are willing to say that should be... Yes?
So any psik reisha and malacha d'rabbanan with any other d'rabbanan, like shino d'rabbanan at all?
So the lashon of the Magen Avraham is that if it's an issa d'rabbanan to begin with, it's a psik reisha by an issa d'rabbanan, but it's v'derech kilkel and kila achayad. I don't know if we could say all these, you know, just to put d'rabbanans together. He specifically says kilkel. He says if it's mekalkel and it's kila achayad. So I think we should limit it to those cases, that it's a d'rabbanan, but you're doing it v'derech kilkel, and it's also b'shinui, it's a strange way of doing things. Yes?
So the high heels, we're going to say it's much of a b'diyeva?
No, I think l'chatchila, it's okay. because it's only b'derech kelkel. It's kol achayah. The whole thing is an issur d'rabbanan to begin with. So then I think it's mutter. Yes.
Can we say, you know, once we're employing p'sik reish lo nichalei, so can't we just say that applies by everything? Even like, let's say washing the floors. Let's say, for example.
Yeah.
So I'm not intending to. I don't care that I'm chorish the ground, whatever that means on tile floor for a second. But I just want to wash the stuff that's on top of the ground. So I don't need.
You'd rather there be gumos?
But there's no.
If you had an earthenware floor, you would want to be mashva gumos. So the gzeira is made out to a person who has an earthenware floor, where it's a psik reisha denichalei to be mashva gumos. That's the gzeira.
Okay.
The gzeira is out to a case that a taka would be awesome.
But
okay.
By the strollers, let's say, we should be able, even by a stroller, we should be able to say the high heel, like the same thing.
Stroller is mutter as long as you're not moving to the sides.
So if you're moving
it,
let's say.
Yeah.
Why can't we say something as high heels?
That doesn't
impress it. So even if you're moving it to the side, you don't care about that. It's only an issur d'rabbanan, and that's b'derech kelkel. Is that kila acha? It's kila acha yad too. You're saying it's kila acha yad b'derech kelkel. So why should that not be mutter? That's a good question. I have to think about that. I'm saying it's the same thing. It's a psikresha d'lo nichla. You don't want to make the charisha. You don't want to make the guma, and it's there kilkel and kilachayan. I hear. It's a good point. I gotta look again. Maybe the Chazanish wasn't willing to be mekel, but if you follow the comment of the Magen Avraham, you follow these poskim when it comes to the high heels and the sukkah, so then plugging it back into the stroller should be mutter, even if you're turning corners with the stroller. I hear. Yes, Gary.
Maybe the turning the corner of the stroller doesn't compress the ground; it actually pulls it up. When you turn it to the side of the shoulder.
Correct, but it's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei anyway. Because you don't care about that. What?
It's not,
still only an issur d'rabbanan. And you are doing it b'derech kilkel, no? It's not b'derech kilkel? I think it's still b'derech kilkel. It certainly is kilach hayad, right? Never saw a stroller on a farmland. They're not going to find it. Okay, let's move on to Zoreya now. What's the nature of the malach of Zoreya? I thought we'd have a little bit more time. Maybe we'll throw in a little bit the kitzah. We won't do this by riches, but we'll try to do what we can do. So we know from the Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara says that the malach of Zareah is anytime you do something that can be matzmiach a pri. It can be matzmiach a plant, cause a plant to grow better. That's the malach of Zareah, to cause something to grow. We also know there's a machlogas, the Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash, whether the malacha of Zoreh is violated the moment that you put the seeds on the ground, or only after Hashrasha, only after they take root. We spent a lot of time on that machlokas during the week. The Rashash holds that it's only after Hashrasha. You need the placing of the seeds on the ground, plus the taking root. But the Minchas Chinuch says, no, the moment that you place the seeds on the ground, you violate the Issur of Zoreh, even though the Hashrasha is only going to occur during the week, it'll occur later on, that's no problem. I mean, it's a problem, I should say, but it's not something missing from the melacha. It's a problem, just like bishul. He says bishul as well. The actual melacha, the tikkun, occurs long after, a little while after you place the item on the you place the pot on the fire. So zriya is the same. The Minchas Chinuch claims this machlokas is very important because the poskim point out you should be very careful if you're eating apples that have seeds or you're eating sunflower seeds. You shouldn't allow them to fall on the ground. Because Bishlam, according to the Rashash, if you pick them off the ground, you know, let's say you see them on the ground. If you pick them off the ground, you won't violate Zoreya because there was no Hashrasha. But according to the Minchas Chinuch, the moment that the seeds hit the ground, that's the Malach of Zoreya. So you'll have a big problem. You could violate a Malach of Daraisa by eating sunflower seeds, besides the fact that your mother might not like you munching on the sunflower seeds, right? She doesn't think it's becoming. But, you know, depending on your community, where you live, okay, we're not going to get it. Whatever. But there could be a halachic issue over here, right? There could be a halachic issue that if the seeds, you know, there could be a seed that'll fall down that you didn't chew up, and it falls down with the seed, not just with the shell, right? And that could be a problem of Zoreh, according to the Minchas Chinuch. So if you want to eat sunflower seeds, I guess you should eat them in the house, because in the house there's no concern, there's no dirt there. But that would only be a problem, according to the Minchas Chinuch, according to the Rashash, since you need Hashrasha. You really could. It still is a chashash that you might not pick up the seed and you'll have a problem. So it's best to avoid eating the sunflower seeds or eating the apple that has any pits in it on the story. Okay, we know the Gemara in Marikotan talks about Mashke Mayim was Roy. With Yosef, whom the Rambam Paskins like, assumes that Mashke Mayim was Roy is Chayim Shem Zoreh. When you water the plants, you're causing them to grow, and that's a told of Zriya. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Lamed Vav, Siv Gimel, quotes from the Sefer HaTrumah, a very, very important halacha. Sefer HaTrumah says that one is not allowed to wash their hands on the ground because it's a psikresha, to wash their hands on the ground on Shabbos, because it's a psikresha that will cause the grass to grow. And to wash one's hands, let's say it's Sukkot time, and everyone is washing for motzi, can't wash your hands on the grass. You don't care to cause the grass to grow. You're really washing your hands because you have to wash for motzi. So what could be the problem? No, but it's a psikreshah. It's a psikreshah that the grass is going to grow from the water that's going on the grass. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So many have asked, based on the Sefer HaTrumah, what is a person to do on Sukkis if they have a covering over the sukkah that's not on a slant? If you have an awning that's on a slant, so when it rains, the water just washes off, and then you can pick the awning up when the rain stops. But let's say you have a covering over the sukkah that's not on a slant, it's flat. And the water collects on the shlak, on the covering. Right? So is it mutter to open the covering once the rain stops? Very often, if you haven't waited a few days and it was a heavy rain, so you have a lot of water there and it's not going to dry up. So is it mutter, if your sukkah is located in such a way that it's close to the grass, or maybe it's on the grass, is it mutter to open the covering over the sukkah? Shouldn't that be a problem that you're going to cause the grass to grow? That's the question that some of the posts can raise. And to phrase it a little bit better, the posts can say that if not a lot of rain came down, or even if a lot of rain came down, but time has passed since it rained, and now the ground is dried a little bit, so now the extra water that you have on the covering is going to help. It's a psikresha that water is going to help the growth of the grass. So maybe it shouldn't be mutter, maybe it should be aser to open your covering on the sukkah. So I once heard Rabbi Simon quoted from the Maharal Miprag. I was never able to find this. But he said that the Maharal Miprag actually argues with the whole din of the Sefer HaTrumah. He claims that maybe it's mutter to wash one's hands on the grass. Why should it be mutter? Isn't it psikresha? So he wanted to suggest that since the tikkun, the growing of the grass, doesn't happen immediately, that's like a grama, it's a psikresha de grama, and that's going to be mutter. It's similar to grama, because the tikkun, what's the tikkun? What's the constructive accomplishment of the malach of Mashke Mayim Lizroim, of the act of Mashke Mayim Lizroim? The fact that the grass is going to grow. The grass doesn't grow immediately when you put the water on. The water has to go into, you know, it has to go into the grass, into the different chambers in the blade of grass to make it grow. It goes into the soil, into the roots. It takes a little bit of time. The Maharal Miprag felt that that's like a grama. It's because it's like a grama, psikreshai de grama should be mutter. That's what Rabbi Simon quoted from the Maral. And he says some poskim might be makel for that. Not everyone will be makel, but some poskim might be makel. I thought that was very interesting, because this Maral is similar to the Rashi that we had this week. Right? There was a machlokas Rashi and Tosis and Dafayin Gimel and Mebeis about Zomer v'tzorech le'etzim. Right? Remember? Rav Kana says Zomer v'tzorech le'etzim is chayv shtayim. Achas mishim loteh v'achas mishim kotzeh. So Zomer, someone who prunes a tree, is chayav mishum noteya, because you're causing it to grow. And Rashi says that you're chayav mishum noteya if you have kavana, as the Acharonim explained, if you have kavana to cause it to grow. If you want it to grow, so then you're going to be chayav mishum noteya. So we mentioned that the Sfasemis suggested that, according to Rashi, the distinction between the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a stira that we had. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but there's a stira between two Gemaras. So one of the Acharonim wanted to suggest that the difference between the two sugyas is whether you have kavana to be matzmiach the gefen. If you have kavana to be matzmiach the item, the ilan, the tree that you're pruning, so then it's not going to be chayiv mishum noteya. But if you don't have kavana, it's not going to be chayiv. But other Rishonim didn't learn like this Rashi. Why not? So the Rosh Yosef wanted to suggest that the other Rishonim hold it's a psik resha. I don't have to have explicit kavana. It's a psik resha. Whether I have kavana or not, I should be chayiv mishum noteya either way. So Rashi and Tosfos seem to be arguing about this issue, that noteya is the kind of halacha that doesn't happen immediately. The creative accomplishment doesn't happen immediately. So Rashi and Tosfos seem to be arguing as to whether that's called a grama or not. So if I don't have explicit kavana, if it's only halachic kavana through the concept or the construct of psikresha, will I say that I should be chayav for that psikresha, or should I say it's a psikresha de grama and I shouldn't be chayav? That seems to be what Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing about on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, according to the Rosh Yosef. So this kula that the Maharal Prag has to argue with the Sefer HaTruma to say I can wash my hands on the grass because the accomplishment of allowing the grass to grow only comes la'achar zman, that's like a grama, and if psikresha yidei grama is going to be mutter, that's not at all pashut that we really hold like that. That could be a machlokas rishon. So that's why many other poskim say perhaps we shouldn't be making for such a concept, to say that it's already called grama because the very nature of noteya zareya is that the accomplishment is not going to occur until the thing actually grows. We don't necessarily consider that grama. So we don't consider it grama. It's a regular psikration. It should be asa. It should be asa. Yeah.
Though we said the psikration was only because of macha derabanan, this is a tola. I thought we said that the heter psikration, we said it was macha derabanan, you did it with.
We said that a tola shein tzricha legufa might be mutter. But if psikration, you did grama.
We said the psikration was macha derabanan, and that's why the heter of klachar yad would work. This is only a tola, not a macha derabanan.
But it's a grama. This is a totally different concept. There it's not a grama. Only psikration with a grama could we be more makel. The case of the Magen Avraham is there's no grama. I'm doing something, right? I'm concentrating on one act, and some other act is occurring. But that other act is awesome. So if the other act is done through kilkul and kilachayah, then that's going to be mutter. But this is better. Maral says this is better. It's ayde grama. So if it's grama, that's mutter. Even a psikresha de grama is mutter. That's what he's suggesting. No, not at all. Kilachayah means I'm doing it with the back of my hand, but it's happening immediately. Whatever tikkun I'm doing is happening immediately. The chiddush of the maral is that this is even called grama, because I am doing the ma'isa melacha now. The ma'isa melacha is not occurring later. I'm watering the plants now. I'm being zomer now. But the nature of the malacha of noteya and zareya is that the creative accomplishment only occurs later. So that's a chiddush to say that that's grama, because the ma'isa malacha is being done now. The effect of the malacha is later, but the ma'isa malacha is being done now. But he says that's also called grama. But not everyone agrees. So because not everyone agrees, many poskim say that you should be machmer over here, that this is a real problem. So what's there? Is there room for kula? Okay, just briefly, is there room for kula? So the poskim have three guidelines. Okay, the poskim say, first of all, if the ground is saturated, then it should be mutter to open up the shlach. It's mutter to open the covering. Because whatever water comes off the covering is not going to help the grass grow anymore. The water is saturated, and it's not going to help the grass grow anymore. The source of this is a Mordechai in Shabbos. It quotes the Yireim that says that people should be careful not to put water on grass when they need the water, like in the summertime. In the summertime, that the grass needs the water a lot, Yireim says that you shouldn't put water on the grass on Shabbos. So it sounds like the most hageshamim during rainy season when the ground is very wet, there's no problem. Why is it no problem? It's the same issue. You're putting water on the grass. So apparently, it could be medayik from that Mordechai that it's only because the grass needs the water. If the grass needs the water, so then it's a problem. If the grass doesn't need the water, so then it shouldn't be a problem. This is a diuk that Rav Shimon Eider has. Shimon Eider wrote the first Likud Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. Most people don't use his Sefer anymore because there are so many other Sfarim, but we should. We should at least mention him. A beautiful, beautiful two-volume work that he wrote on Hilchos Shabbos. So this is in Chelek Aleph in Zareya, Ha'orevav. Shimon Eider wants to be medayek from that Mordechai, that you see clearly that if the ground is not going to benefit from, if the grass is not going to benefit from the water that you put on it, there's no iser of mashkemayim lizra. What happens if it's only a suffolk? You don't know. You don't know if it had enough water. It didn't have enough water. What's the din then? So that's another issue. That's the second guideline that the poskim give. If it's a suffolk, so that's lechora dependent on a machlokas haposkim. We're going to get to this in Mitzvah Hashem later in the lumdasha chelik of the shiurim. There's a concept that the poskim have that's called a suffolk psikresha de l'sha'ovar. Sounds like a complicated... it's not so complicated. It's pretty simple. Let's just abbreviate psigration. A psigration is normally where I know something is going to happen in the future. If I don't know something is going to happen in the future, what's it called? I do something, I move a bench, and I don't know that it's going to create any charitz in the karka. What's that called? Dovashen miskav. Okay? So, safek psigration de la haba is just a fancy way of saying dovashen miskav. I'm doing something. I don't have kavana for the second act to occur. And I'm not even sure that it's going to occur. If I know what's going to occur, that's a psigration. If I don't know what's going to occur, sofek psigration de la haba, that's a dovashen miskavin. Reb Shimon holds muzer, and that's the way we paskin. What happens if it's a sofek de la sha'ova? Now, what does that mean, de la sha'ova? It means, let's say, if I knew all of the givens of this case, I would know that it's a psigration, or I would know whether it's a psigration or not. But I just don't know all of the givens. I don't know whether it's a psikresha or not. The case that the Taz is the source of this concept. The case that Taz is talking about is, let's say I want to take bread out of a bread box. And I don't know if there are flies in that bread box. It doesn't sound very appetizing, I know. But yeah, there were flies in the homes at the time of the Gemara. So the Taz is kept in the time of the Poskim. The Taz talks about a case that I'm going to take bread out of the bread box, then I'm going to close the bread box, but I might be trapping flies in that bread box. Shaila of whether there's seder. Okay, so if it's a davashen miskaven, it's mutter. But if it's a psikresha, it's asa. But the problem is, I don't know if it's a psikresha. Right? I don't know if it's a psikresha. And it's not that it's a suffix whether it will happen in the future. When I close that box, we can paskin up. I either did a malacha or I didn't. It's not that we're not sure what's going to happen in the future. It's based on whether there are flies in the box. I know for sure right now it's a psikresha. If I could get a little man to enter into the box to tell me if there are flies there, I would know right now, is it a psikresha or not? So the question is a suvik psikresha de la sha'ava any different than a suvik psikresha de la habon? Reb Kiva Eger, in his Chidushim to Hilchas Basa B'chalav, says, yes, it's very different. By a suffix secretion de la sha'avar, you have to be machmer. Just like by any other sveka da arais salachom. You have to be machmer. Because basically, it's a suffix whether you're violating melacha da araisa. Because it's not a suffix in the future, which no one knows the future. So that's a suffix in the future. I don't have to be machmer for that because there's no way of knowing that an isser is going to be violated until after it's done. So that's enough to say that's davashin miskaven and that's mutter. But if it's l'sha'avar, meaning if I were to know all the givens, I perhaps could know right now that it's a malacha d'araisa. Kivega says, there, I have to be machmer. Sveka d'araisa l'chum. But the Taz is mekel even for that. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes Raya's to the Taz. Many poskim are willing to be mekel for the Taz. That if I don't know whether... Right? If I don't know all of the givens, I don't know whether Malacha the Rice is going to occur here or not, I can be Mekel. So here too, if I don't know if the grass is wet enough that the water is not going to help it, I can be Mekel. That's what the Poskim said. But how about if I know for sure that there has not been enough water? Right, let's say it was a rain for a short amount of time. There's been a drought for 2 weeks. And there was a rain for 10 minutes. It was a heavy rain, but that's it. Right? It's a heavy rain. And it looks like it's pretty dry outside. So to rely on suffik psikresha de la sha'ava is shver. It's very difficult because mistama will help the ground. It sounds like it's a real psikresha. So what can I do? Is there any head to open up the shlach? So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa quotes from Shlomo Zalman Arbach in Perek Yud Beis Ha'ora Nun Aleph. Shlomo Zalman wants to say that if I open the shlach in such a way that the water flows onto the ground, the solid ground, the cement, the deck, before it hits the grass, that's called psikreshai de grama, and that's going to be mutter. That's only a koach sheni. Now, this is not the Maral's grama. This is better than his grama. The Maral's grama is where I'm doing something now, but because the creative accomplishment of my malach is only until later, we don't take what I'm doing now so seriously. We say that that's only grama. That's a big chiddush, because I'm doing the full malacha now. Just the way that the malacha, the nature of the malacha, the derech of the malacha, is that the creative accomplishment of this malacha doesn't occur until later. But here, I'm not doing the actual malacha now. I'm first making the water flow onto the ground, onto the cement, onto the tile, onto the deck, and from there it's flowing off onto the grass. If Shlomo Zalman wants to say, in such a case, that's a grama, that's a koach sheni, right? That's a delayed reaction, that's a koach sheni. That kind of psikresha is going to be mutter. So that's what the poskim suggests, that's the best thing to do. To arrange the sukkah in such a way that even if you have to open up the shlak, first of all, if the shlak, if the covering is slanted, there's no problem at all. But even if the covering is flat, if you can open the covering in such a way that it'll hit the deck first, or hit the cement first, the patio, or hit the tile first before it flows to the grass, then that's certainly better, because that would be a grumma. And then even if it's a psikresha that the ground is going to benefit from the water, it'll still be mutter in such a case. Maybe I'll just end with one other case, one other issue. Some of the poskim may ask, is it mutter to open up the shades on Shabbos? Can I open up the shades in order to bring light into the room? What could be the problem? Well, let's say I have plants growing in the room. Plants in a flower pot. I have some kind of plants growing in the room. So is it mutter to open up the shades? I'm going to cause the sun to go. It's not mashkemayim lizram. I'm not watering the plants. I can't water the plants on Shabbos, but can I open up the shades? So the poskim say it's mutter to open up the shades if your kavana is to put light into the room. Right? Even though it's a psikresha that by opening up the shades will cause the plants to grow better, it's only a psikresha de grama, and it's mutter. That's what the poskim say. Shlomo Zalman in the Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo and Siman Yud, he adds one caveat to this. He says, but if you also have kavana to make the plants grow, that's a problem. He says, when you open up the shades on Shabbos, you have to have exclusive kavana just to put light in the room. You should think to yourself that I'm not doing this for the plants. I'm only doing it for the light. Because if you have kavana to do it for the plants as well, he says that's koach rishon. That's not a grum. What does that mean? Shlomo Zalman says that if you have kavana that the sun that you're allowing into the room should help for the growth of the plants, that's like a koach rishon. So if that's like a koach rishon, then it should be a problem even if you don't have kavana. It's doch a psik resha that it's going to cause the plants to grow. So what's the difference? The Archa Shabbos wants to suggest that maybe the pshat is like this. Since the maisa that you're doing, right, the opening of the shade, and now the sun is coming in, you're not doing a maisa malocha beguf atzmochim. You're not actually doing a maisa to the plants. If you water the plants, you're doing a maisa on the plants. But here, you're not doing a maisa to the plants. You're just raising the shade. Then the sun, memeil, is coming in. You're not doing an active maisa on the plants. That's point number one. Secondly, the benefit to the plants is not nikar. It's not recognizable. So because you're not doing a maisa beguf atzmochim, and the toelas is not nikeres, the toelas is not recognizable, so maybe we should say generally that's called a grum. But if you have kavana that the sun should cause the plants to grow, if Shlomo Zalman says, then your kavana is machshivit into a maisa. That even though I'm not doing a maisa in the guf atzmochim, I'm not actually doing a maisa to the plants, and the toelas is not recognizable, but if I have a kavana, maybe we should say that that's worse. My kavana that the sun should come in and help the plants grow, that's machshiv what I'm doing to become a maisa. It's like a koach rishon. And since it's like a koach rishon, it's not called a grum anymore, maybe for that we should be machmir. So the best thing to do is a person can raise the shades in their home and have kavana that the sun should come in, but they should think to themselves that I'm not doing this for the plants. Aye, but it's helpful? No, but you should say, I'm not doing it for the plants, you should have a kavana hafucha. If the plants don't get sun, one day they'll still grow enough. With the sun that you'll, not today, but with the sun that you'll put on the plants on a Sunday that has sun, the sun that come on the plants, then they'll grow double, so they won't be missing anything from the sun that you didn't want to hit the plants on Shabbos. Okay.